Would please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and we are going to be looking at verses 5 through 15 today. But before I begin, you see the bear up here. Okay? That came from Vince, right? It's going to my house when we're done. No, that way I can tell people, hey, I've been north to, yeah, okay. But it actually reminds me of a story. One of the times when I was in Romania, and we had completed the mission trip, and we were up in the mountains getting ready to come home. We were staying at a hotel before going to the airport the next day. And it was one of those nights where, of course, you could probably heard by now, I don't really sleep well. Couldn't sleep that night very well at all. So I got up, and there had been a wedding party going on, outside the hotel and that. So I went out and was just kind of walking around, and I was going to go up behind the hotel up into the on the hillside a little bit, up on the mountain a little bit. And I just kind of look around or whatever. And this guy come up to me, and I'm looking at him, he's looking at me, and I think we're both, and of course, he's Romanian, and he's kind of looking at me like, you're weird or something. He goes, you speak Romanian? I said, no. He goes, He goes, no go there. Okay. And he's kind of looking at me, just, that is universal for bear, no matter where you're at. So I didn't go over there, and sure enough, the bear had been in the garbage that night, right over in that area, we found out the next morning. So I'm very thankful for that guy to know the universal sign for language, or for bears. So, if you would, please stand with me as we could turn together in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. Now, our version is going to be a little bit different today from yours. I am going to be reading from the New King James. However, when we get to the Lord's Prayer, if yours has debts or if it has trespasses, okay, I want you to use the word instead, sins. Okay? And you'll see why. Hopefully I do as I ask you to. Verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Please say it with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Lord Jesus, again, we praise you and thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessing of VBS coming up. We just thank you for the joyousness of this morning's worship. We thank you for the special music and just the laughter and just the heartfelt moments. Now we ask you, as we look into your word, as we hear your message this week, we ask you once again to open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to what you have to say. We pray this together. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Through the years, there has been a lot of unnecessary debate about a certain word or a certain phrase within the Lord's Prayer. And it deals with the word that some have claimed that we should only use one particular word in a certain area. or we lose the true meaning in the prayer. Some people have put a different word in there, some versions. Some versions have changed what they use, what they start off with. Originally, it started off with that word, trespasses. Then some changed it to debts and debtors. It is a word that has caused, quite frankly, a lot of controversy. Some churches you go to will come right out and tell you, you have to use what they say there. Okay, not necessarily because they want to be uniform or anything, but just because they feel that it takes away from the prayer if you say something different. Luke 11:4, though, in that same area, talking about the same prayer, says this, "Forgive us our sins." Even in the King James, it says, "Forgive us our sins." And also in that fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, Luke words it like this, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us," meaning those who sin against us. In verses 14 and 15 of the scripture we just read from Matthew, Jesus goes on to explain the importance of forgiving others when they have wronged us, signifying that that petition of asking for forgiveness while we forgive is regarded as Jesus to be the very important part of that prayer, possibly the most important part of that prayer. The petition is both a plea for forgiveness and a claim that we are already forgiving people. That's what it said. When you go back to the original writings and everything, that's what that claim was saying. We're asking for forgiveness for things we have done while we already forgive for what people have done to us. Now, we are in the subject for the year of what it means to be a seeker. What it means to be a seeker of a person first coming to Christ, or as a seeker who is, you know, continually building their relationship with Christ. And then for the past few weeks, we've been talking about what? Forgiveness. When we pray, "Forgive us our debts or trespasses," we are simply asking God to let us off the hook. Simply let it go. To forgive comes from a Greek word that means to let it be or to send away. To let be would mean that God would just let us stay the way we are. In other words, just simply wipe away the sin that we have come, the sin that we have done. To send away in the Greek means that our sins would be cast away from us, that we would not be liable for them, instead of having to pay for what we've done. God would just let the sin go, or let the debt go, the word that's used there. So when we pray that, that's simply what we're asking God. Just let it be. Forgive me. Forget about it, is what we're actually asking God. And God, we are told in the Bible, does what with our sins when we've come to him and asked for salvation? We've talked about it. As far as the east is from the west, he has forgotten about it. Not that he has to, but he has chosen to. Remember, I told you that was one of the questions that people have tried to trick me up on. And when they're, well, if God can do anything, why can't he remember our sins? And it's not the fact that he can't remember our sins. He has chosen not to remember our sins. However, we need to understand that this line in the Lord's Prayer is not about praying for salvation. And that's where a lot of people get mixed up with this prayer. It is not about praying to God, praying to Christ, as far as coming for salvation. It is not what we often call that sinner's prayer. If we prayed for salvation based on the basis of what that we have already forgiven others, then our salvation would be conditional. We would feel that we deserve it. Because that phrase goes like this, Forgive us our sins as we are forgiving others. So when we look at it like that, it's saying, okay, well, since we're already forgiven somebody, then God's going to automatically forgive us. And then we start to think what? Well, look at what I'm doing. Okay, I am just so great. I'm already forgiving people. So God, go ahead and forgive me because I just put a condition on my salvation. It's all me doing it. We forget about what it says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, that we are saved by grace through faith, not anything that we have done, including forgiving others, so that we would not boast about our salvation. We would also look at it like God would be saying, okay, you forgave somebody, you have met one of the conditions for salvation, so I'll go ahead and forgive you. Then we would also have to think this. We've been talking about how hard it is to forgive, right? Sometimes it's hard to forgive. Sometimes we don't know how to forgive. Sometimes we want to forgive. We just don't know how to get to it. And we're going to be talking about that and just the process of forgiving. But sometimes we simply just say in our humanness, I don't want to forgive that person. So if we're saying that, when you look at it in the Lord's Prayer, do we lose our salvation then? If that prayer is based on salvation. You see what I'm saying? So that's why I say that prayer is not about salvation. So if the Lord's Prayer was meant to be a prayer for salvation, it would be a salvation based on works, what we are doing. So if receiving salvation is not the basis of the Lord's Prayer, then what is the purpose of the Lord's Prayer? What's the purpose? Anybody want to come up here and give a shot and see the message? No. The aim of the Lord's Prayer is to keep us in fellowship with the Lord. The aim of the Lord's Prayer is to keep us in fellowship with the Lord. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there's absolutely no darkness in him. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. In order to have fellowship with our Lord, in whom there is no darkness, all our sins have to be cleansed. They have to be dealt with. Walking in the light means following without compromise everything that God calls us to do. It means we are giving him 100% of ourselves, following him completely, that we have no true fellowship with him. Sometimes we like to put conditions. Lord, I'll follow you if you'll do this for me. We may not say it exactly like that, but sometimes we ask God for something and then we put a condition on it. But the Lord's Prayer is designed to keep us from developing a self-centered attitude, or an attitude where we think that we are somehow righteous in our acts. All of us at times in our life know that we have that problem that we fight against. We want to justify ourselves in things that we do. Sometimes we say, okay, well, I've had this going on. We do something that we know is a sin, but I had this taking place. I had that. And a lot of times we like to do what? We also like to take and point fingers. Well, so-and-so did so-and-so to me. So I took revenge on that person. The Lord's Prayer shows us that we need daily forgiveness as much as daily bread. Daily, we need to come to the Lord for forgiveness. Now, I'm not talking about re-salvation. That's not what I'm talking about. But even as believers, we know that the day before or whatever, we have messed up. Each day we need to come to the Lord in prayer. We need to start our day in prayer. We need to remember that every day, we have little thoughts that creep into our minds, even when we don't want them to. Sometimes we do want them to. We need that daily forgiveness. There are two things Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer. People will or have hurt us. There'd be no reason to forgive people if they have not somehow hurt us. In that prayer, he says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. What's the sin against us? Somehow somebody has done something to us that has hurt us. It's a given. We can probably all look back at times in our life where somebody has hurt us. Maybe intentionally, maybe not intentionally. But we all have some people in our life where we have to forgive. We ourselves have come short of the glory of God. Oftentimes we mistreat other people. We have to go to the Lord in prayer and go to that person to ask for forgiveness. We have hurt God, and we are asking to be let off the hook. I mean, think about it. There's no reason to ask for forgiveness from God unless we had done something wrong. And if we're going to go to God and ask for forgiveness for something that we have done to get off the hook, people have done what? They have hurt us. And we are called to be Christ-like. And if we're going to truly strive to be Christ-like, we have to what? Forgive. A subject sometimes we don't like. Think for a moment about how somebody has hurt us at times in our life. Maybe somebody lied about us, mistreated us, disrespected us. Maybe some point of our life we were so ungrateful for something that we did. Maybe we have had people lie about us to make themselves look good. Maybe somebody was disloyal in a relationship. Jesus is telling us that's the way people are. Because we are all human. Think about when you're a teenager. Okay? Not that I'm trying to necessarily pick on teenagers. His head just popped up. What? But as a teenager, how many times did we disrespect our parents? How many times did we disrespect our teachers? How many times have we disrespected each other at different times, even as adults? How many times have we even accidentally said things and disrespected Christ without realizing it at different times in our life? We may not realize, but often we do that to people. We have told stories about somebody, even if it's true. In other words, we've done what? We've gossiped. We have been ungrateful at times. We have disappointed others. But yet, we would like it if they forgave us. Correct? If they did that to us. So the same is true about us forgiving them. Times that we have disrespected somebody, times that we have gossiped about somebody, times that we have hurt somebody's feelings or whatever. And we look at it, if they would have done the same thing to us, we would want what? Them to come and apologize. And that's exactly what we are called to do to them. To go up to them and apologize. We are to forgive them. So many times we pray that God would just let us off the hook. That he wouldn't throw the book at us. And yet so often we pray that God would throw the book at somebody else. Give them what they deserve, God. At least what I think they deserve. But if we want a close relationship with God, we have to come to Him and ask for His forgiveness. We have to be willing to ask God for help for us to forgive others. And asking for help to forgive others, we are asking God to forgive them. Think about that. If we are asking God, please help me so I can forgive somebody, we in essence are saying, God, I want you to forgive them too. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not saying to God, we want them saved. I'm not saying that brings their salvation. That's not what I'm saying. What did Jesus pray on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, right? That was not a prayer for their complete salvation. That was a prayer that you, God, just simply forgive them for what was taking place at that moment. That is the heart attitude that we are to have. We want to forgive people, and we want God to forgive them. That's what it means when we forgive. I realize they have to come to Christ and ask for forgiveness for their sin. I'm not saying that. But it's about having a desire for them to come to Christ and receive forgiveness. You see, in reality, there is a clear path. There is a clear path. Excuse me, I gotta get a drink. Now, I know I've said this, but today I'm going to have you do something a little different. I want you to raise your hand when I say, after I say that, don't just raise it up right now, but after I say something. Who has ever had a hard time to forgive somebody? Okay, you may put your hands down. Who's ever had where you wanted to be forgiven and somebody wouldn't forgive you? Okay. Who at this moment in your life finds it hard? Now be honest, if you want to raise your hand, that you are struggling with forgiving somebody today. Thank you. My prayer and my hope is that in this series, as we look at the call to forgive and the directive to forgive, it will help to see the how to forgive and give us that desire to forgive. See, it goes on beyond knowing, well, I know I need to forgive. I need to know how to forgive, but we also need to develop that desire to want to forgive. Why do you think Jesus forgives us? He loves us. He wants to forgive us. See, not only do we need daily forgiveness as we need daily bread, but we also need to pray daily for the grace to forgive people as a lifelong commitment. We need to take and ask God for that daily desire to develop, not just on how to forgive somebody for what they've done, but the desire that I want to forgive them. How many times have we forgiven somebody, but yet we thought, well, I'm going to remember this. Okay? It's not easy. No one ever said it would be. At times, it's been one of the hardest things in my life to have to forgive somebody for certain things. But following the phrase in the Lord's Prayer is the clearest path to fellowship with God. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer for continued fellowship. When Jesus finished teaching his disciples that prayer, he added this: for if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. Now remember, talking about the Lord's Prayer, about having fellowship with God, keeping that fellowship going. Why does Jesus add this to his teaching? He's demonstrating which of the petitions was the most important. The most natural tendency in the world is to want to get even with somebody. It's not the natural human tendency to want to forgive somebody. Most time we want to somehow get even with them. Jesus is telling us to do something that is not natural, but supernatural. Supernatural and totally forgiving someone. There is a difference between struggling to forgive someone and refusing to forgive someone. The fact that we are struggling and wanting to know how to forgive somebody shows us that we are developing that desire that we want to forgive somebody. There's a difference from knowing, from struggling that, okay, I don't know how to do it, I'm still struggling with it, and just saying, I'm not going to forgive that somebody. There's a big difference in that. There's a difference between trying to deal with hurts than hanging on to the hurts that people have done to us. You know, sometimes we want to hold on to those grudges. Sometimes we want to let the grudges go, but sometimes we still have in our mind what took place, and we don't know how to cope with the hurt. But there's a big difference from that than saying, I just want to hold the grudge against them. But when we do truly and totally forgive, we cross over into the supernatural and achieve an accomplishment that in itself is a miracle. To develop that wantingness, that desire to want to forgive people, in itself is a miracle. Just as if somebody was healed is a miracle. Because that's not our natural tendency, to want to forgive until we develop it. The kingdom of heaven is the domain of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is at home in us, He is not grieved. When He is comfortable, when we are doing what we've been told to do, when we are striving to please Him, He is not grieved. Remember we talked about the things that grieve the Holy Spirit? What was on the first top of that list? Remember? Bitterness is the number one thing that grieves the Holy Spirit. But when we are not grieving the Holy Spirit, He is free to be Himself. He isn't adjusting to us, but we are adjusting to Him. We are learning to live with Him in our life. When the Holy Spirit is not grieved, we are growing spiritually. When He's not grieved. When Jesus said, when you forgive, you will be forgiven, He was not talking about salvation or how to achieve salvation. He was talking about receiving the anointing of God and participating in the intimate relationship with the Father. Unless we are striving for a state of forgiveness toward others, we cannot be in an intimate relationship with God. Unless if we are striving to develop that desire, we cannot be in an intimate relationship with God. Because God is light. There is no grudges in Him. There is no darkness in Him. And if we want to be Christ-like, we have to be willing to forgive. Now I get it's a process to go through. But this is true both for the individual and for a family of believers. If an individual is hanging on to hurts, we cannot be in an intimate relationship with God. And as a group of individuals are hanging on to past hurts, they cannot be in an intimate relationship with God. Even as a group of believers. Let me say it this way. A church that I was interim pastor, one of my first churches I was interim pastor at, was hurt very deeply from a previous pastor. So deeply that every time we came for worship, every single Sunday they would bring the subject up what took place. Every single time, that church never grew numerically and did not grow spiritually. Last I knew, they were getting ready to close the doors. Now, there might have been other things of reason for that. I get that. But my point is, we cannot be in an intimate relationship, even as a group of believers, if we are keeping hold of past grudges against somebody. Even in our individual life, or as a group or a family group of believers. It will hold us back if we do that. In dealing with the past hurts, or hurts of the past, we need this. We need to be honest with ourselves about bitterness. We need to be honest with ourselves about bitterness. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. One of the greatest ways people are walking in darkness is holding on to bitterness simply because they want to. They're holding on to bitterness in their hearts. Bitterness creates confusion in our minds, and it creates oppression within our hearts. We may claim we have fellowship with the Spirit, but in reality, that's all we're doing is just claiming it. And if we claim to have fellowship, but in reality are walking in bitterness, we are in darkness. And what that verse say? We are not practicing the truth. In other words, we lie. We're lying to ourselves of all things. Jesus tenderly shows us in the Lord's Prayer that we will be hurt. We will be hurt by people we never even imagined that would hurt us. Psalm 41:9 says, "Even my close friend, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted his heel against me." Sometimes we will be hurt by the closest people to us. Jesus not only calls the acts of people do against us hurtful, he calls them sin. But it's a reality. But we have to understand some different things. For instance, when people don't mean to hurt us. And there are those times. We didn't mean to hurt somebody, and sometimes people say things or just come off the whatever, and they don't necessarily mean to hurt us. How many parents do we have in here today? I better see a bunch of hands. Okay, thank you. All right. How many times have you had to tell your child something that they couldn't do something, that they didn't like, and you hurt their feelings? Okay? I got one up there going like this. I'm not going to say who it is, but okay. Now, sometimes we have to tell children no. Sometimes adults have to be told no. But it's not that we're necessarily intentionally trying to hurt somebody, but it just simply hurts their feelings. When I was working over in Peoria, at the Church of Canton, I was up for a big promotion, okay, to be a manager. There was one other guy there. We both had the same qualifications, everything that we've gone through as far as training. He'd been there 3 months longer than I had, and he got the job. Was I happy about it? No. I understood it, but I was still kind of, you know, upset about it or kind of hurt about it. In times like that, like those occasions are exactly, they may not necessarily be sin against us, but we've still been hurt. Okay? Sometimes people just unintentionally hurt us. Then there's those hurts because of the insensitivity of someone. There are people in our world whose actions are called simply that. They're called sin. And again, there's more than one kind of such a sin. There are sins that we don't necessarily willfully commit, but then there's those times where somebody is just simply unsensitive, just a hard heart, and treat people rudely. Some people are just so egotistical or full of themselves because of the ambition in their life or whatever, that they'll just hurt anybody they can to get what they want. On the other hand, there's those who are so full of hurt and anger that they hurt somebody themselves, maybe even the same way that they have been hurt. We need to learn to foster a spirit of sensitivity to those around us. The more sensitive we are to the Holy Spirit, the more aware we will be of people around us who are in pain. And then there are those hurts that are knowingly committed by sin. Some people just simply do wicked things. We watched Dateline a couple of days. It's amazing to me, and the things that you see people do sometimes, knowing full well that what they're doing is intentionally going to hurt somebody. Are we called to forgive someone like that who intentionally hurts us? Yes. I think if we look within our own hearts, we will find the answer, of course, is yes. And I say look within our own hearts because we are being led by the Spirit who is with us. And if we're being led by the Spirit within us, that's the only conclusion we can come up with, that we are still called to forgive somebody in that situation. But I want us to realize something. The greater the sin we must forgive, the greater the measure of the Spirit that will come to us. When we have those times when we feel we just can't forgive someone because the hurt is just so great, it isn't that we don't want to, but are just having a hard time dealing with it, with those hurts. In those times, we are given an opportunity to receive a measure of anointing that someone else might never experience. In other words, when we truly have the desire, especially to forgive in those instances, the Holy Spirit is going to come to us more, the more that we desire to want to forgive somebody. We begin to learn to forgive when we refuse to judge someone's motives. Reserving judgment for God to handle the situation shows that we already are beginning the forgiveness process. We must leave on how guilty the person is in God's hands. It is for Him to know their intentions. In other words, what I'm saying is when somebody forgives us, we are not called to know if they meant it, if they did it on accident. We are just simply called to forgive them. It's not our job to judge their intentions or to even know their intentions. God just calls us to forgive. Complete forgiveness is a chosen privilege. It's a chosen privilege. To forgive someone, completely forgive someone, is to choose to be, as I said, like Christ. As Christ followers, that's what we're called to be. That's what we are to strive to be, Christ-like. Why should we want to forgive? Because we desire intimacy and fellowship with our Lord and Savior. Desiring God's anointing is why we pursue to forgive or to completely forgive. Jesus said that if we do not forgive others, our Father will not forgive us. There's no way to avoid what Jesus says there. Forgiving people is simply serious business. It's not optional. If we truly want a close relation, an intimate relationship with Christ, we are called to forgive. And yet, in order to motivate us to forgive, Jesus has to kind of just lay it out there. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. You won't have that closeness. So what happens when we don't forgive? What did Jesus truly mean in that statement when he said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven? Come back next week and you'll hear it. But I do want to say again how we are called to forgive, because that's what Jesus has done for us. Going to the cross and dying for us, for our sins. Rising again to be our living Lord, our living Savior. The one that we can go to and ask for forgiveness and be promised of that forgiveness. Not by anything that we've done so that we can't boast, but simply because of what He has done for us on the cross. And His desire, His wanting, His will to want to forgive us. God's plan for our salvation. You know, I've had a lot of people through the years that say, you know, well, I don't have to be a Christian to do this. I don't have to be a Christian in order to do this or whatever. I don't have to be a Christian in order to have a good relationship with somebody. And to a point, they're right. And no, we don't have to necessarily be great Christians or a Christian at all in order to forgive somebody. But if we're truly going to forgive people the way Christ has called us to forgive, we have to have a relationship with and in Christ. So we have to ask ourselves if we've truly accepted Christ as Savior. Do we even have that relationship even started with Him? Have we come to Him and received that promise of forgiveness? Then we start that process of learning how to forgive and be Christ-like. The ladies, come forward and let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, we do praise You and we do thank You for the way that You work within us to give us the desire to forgive like You do, to want to forgive people, to learn how to do that. And we know that it's hard. We know that it's tough. But we also know this. You would not be calling us to do it if we could not do it in and through You. Lord, I just pray that if there is someone here today that's never truly taken that first step in forgiveness and received their own forgiveness from You, that they would not leave here today without coming to You and asking You to be their Savior and receiving that forgiveness. We ask You to be with us as we learn and how to develop that desire to forgive one another without holding on to any bitterness. You just continually work in our hearts. We pray this together. Amen.
that one.
Prepare, know what you're going to do. I walk in, I never know. First person I saw today was Wyatt. And he's all decked out in red, white, and blue and shades. And I'm, so that's it. I'm going to play something patriotic.
Thank you both for that beautiful music.
I don't know about you guys, but I could get used to that every week. So same time next week, Larry.
Yes, yes.